want to welcome us all to Wisdom Assembly this morning. And I thank God for your life. In the next few minutes, I want to talk to us about what I have titled, Stop That Thief. Stop That Thief. Can you say with me? If that thief is there, is that the way you're going to say stop that thief? Come on now. Someone, let's say it again.
Stop that thief.
Amen. Stop that thief. That's right. I'm going to take my scripture reading from Genesis 3, from verse 1 to 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Holy Spirit, please breathe upon your word. Speak to us. Enlighten our darkness. In Jesus' name. Amen. I know of a truth that nobody likes to be stolen from. I don't like to be stolen from. Praise the Lord. And in many parts of the world, when a thief is caught, there's what we call jungle justice. The thief will be beaten some many times an inch of their lives, and sometimes they are lynched just because they stole. So that you and I, we don't become victims of theft. What have we done? In many homes, we have come up with many ways of protections. Protecting our properties. Cameras, security cameras, to protect us from alarm systems, to protect us from unauthorized intrusions. And despite all of these gadgets of protection from theft, there's still a major theft that is going on in our lives today. That the cameras cannot detect, the alarm systems in our homes cannot go off. Theft does not end with what is stolen from your hand or what is already in your life that is stolen. Theft can include the stoppage of what is intended for you. The stoppage of what God intended for you and I. There is a theft going on in the spirit right now as we speak. And unfortunately, many Christians are not aware of this theft. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. What does this mean? God has given us all that we need, all that we require in heavenly places. In the spiritual places that we need to stretch forth in faith and with prayer to receive it. But many are not receiving it. There's no flow into receiving it because what is intended for us is being blocked by a thief somewhere. There's something that is called the three T's. Your time, your talents, your treasures. God has blessed all of us with these treaties. He has blessed us with time. We have equal time. He has blessed us with talents, different kinds of talents. He has given us treasures, innumerable treasures. But when God gave them to us, He did not give them to us for us to become owners of these three T's. Rather, God gave them to us so that we can become faithful stewards of our time, faithful stewards of our talent, faithful stewards of our treasures. Hallelujah. We are in the kingdom, you and I. And in the kingdom, the king of the kingdom owns everything. But he finds stewards that he has entrusted these things with. And God wants us to manage these things he has given to us. He wants us to manage them well on his behalf. We know the story of the great man who was going on his journey, and then he gave talents to all his servants. We know that story very well. That's not where I'm going this morning. There's a thief called Satan. He has deceptively come into our fears, unknown to us, to steal what God has given us and what God is willing to deliver to us. I know of a truth in my years as a pastor, and a time in my life, as you will attest to it in your own personal life, the devil has stolen people's joy. Some people have lost their joy today because of the hand of the devil. He has stolen people's peace. He has even stolen people's relationships. He has stolen opportunities. He has stolen purpose. There are people who are here on this face of the earth, but they don't even know why they are here. They have no sense of divine calling whatsoever on their lives. They are just living life anyhow it comes. It's a tragedy when a man or a woman lives their lives without purpose. You wake up in the morning, you don't even know why you are awake. You have nothing to give your life, your energy to, that will glorify God and bless your life. That was a tragedy. That would be a tragedy. Some Christians, even believers, are suffering today because the devil has stolen their health. As we have prayed earlier, and that is my prayer for you, for me, whatever the enemy has stolen, I pray divine restoration in Jesus' name. If it is stolen, it can be restored. But it is better for it not to have been stolen. Because we go through the pain of recovery. And in the process of recovery, many have given up hope. The enemy has stolen people's identity to the ends that they are still struggling about who they are in Christ. They are Christians, but they don't even know who they are. They don't know their rightful place in Christ Jesus. Believe me when I say that there's a whole lot of identity crisis going on in the church, in and out of the church today. A whole lot. The image of God is no longer being projected. The image of God is no longer being protected. is no longer a priority. I told you of a young man who asked me a question about expressing himself. And I understood where he was coming from. And I said, look, if you have made Jesus your Lord and Savior, you are not to express yourself. You are to express the Lord. You are meant to express Jesus Christ. Until you come to that knowledge and understanding that day by day, your expression should be Christ in me, the hope of glory. If that struggle is there, you will always have a crisis. You and I know in the world we live today that many people, they are no longer sure whether they are male or they are female. Now in the world there is a third sex. There is binary. There's a community in California that is changing things or words relating to male and female, removing pronouns. Is, as, they are removing it, replacing it with another word. These are all the works of Satan from the pits of hell. In the beginning, the Bible says God created them, male and female. There is no binary. The world has set up systems, and they continue to do so, continue to set up systems. What kind of systems? Systems that empowers the continuation of this theft. The continuation of the theft of our humanity. The continuation of the theft whereby children of God are not even aware that they are being stolen from. Go from county to cities to states to the nations. What do we find? We find theft that is dehumanizing our humanity. A lot of people have been dehumanized as we live life on a daily basis, all in the name of freedom. There are people right now close by, far away. They would rather just die than to continue life. Why? Because their will to live has been stolen from them. People are becoming brutes, slaves to lust in the name of freedom. Even in the church, the Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16, and I want to read from the English Standard Version. I like that better. Just for a particular word. He says, leave us people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover up for evil, but living as servants of God. Live us free, but as servants of God. Live us free, but as servants of God. Don't use your freedom as a cover up for evil. Many people's definition of freedom, do you know what it is? I'll tell you in a minute. Their definition of freedom is life without God. Oh, in church, I'm free to do whatever I like. What are they trying to say? Leave me to live my life without God. But I will call on God. Life without God is not freedom, it's bondage. I didn't hear an amen to that. The truth of the matter is, how can you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, and then you say, oh, I want to live my own life? No, you can't live your life anymore after you have accepted Jesus into your heart. Let's look at what Jesus said. And I'm sure you are wondering, when is he going to go back to Genesis chapter 3? Don't worry. Just follow me. Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28 through to 30, very simple. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, which is to say there is another yoke. He said, learn from me. Jesus says what? Learn from me, which is to say there are other sources that we can learn from. He says, I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. If you compare the burden of the world and the burden of Christ, of a truth, the burden of Christ is lighter. Praise the Lord. So what is Jesus saying? He says, follow me and let me live through you. The Apostle Paul also said in Galatians 2 and verse 20, Galatians 2 and 20, I have been crucified with Christ. That's what it means when you accept him as your Lord and Savior. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, the life I now live, eating, sleeping, waking, wearing my clothes, driving, living with my family, the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. One thing different between Jesus and the world is that the world cannot give itself for you. Rather, the world will take your life and crush it. Do you not know? Whoever lives in you is who will live through you. Whoever lives in you will live through you. We have seen demons speak through humans before. The devil speaking through human vessels, because that's where he lives. If Jesus lives in you, he will live through you. Jesus also said in John 10, verse 10. But before I read that John 10, 10, I want to read something that one of my sons in the Lord tweeted. I'm actually going to read two of them, one now and one later. And this was from T.D. Jakes. I love this statement. He said, you can't be who you are going to be and who you used to be at the same time. Huh? You can't be who you are going to be and who you used to be at the same time. You either start living towards who you are going to be, away from who you used to be. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So Jesus said in John 10:10, very common scripture we all know, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. Satan came into the Garden of Eden. Eden, the delightful place, the place of delight, the state of delight. He came using the kind of animal whose characteristics and movement is not straightforward. Then snakes used to walk on their two legs before the curse. It was God that cursed them to start slithering on the floor. They have legs. They walk on before. Even today, there are still snakes that fly. They are flying snakes. Yes. There are a lot of creatures that you may not even understand. Praise the Lord. The only way the devil knew that he can disrupt the delightful place was through deceit. Only deception can disrupt a delightful place. Only deception. And the devil's strategy is to come to steal through deception. He came to the woman speaking through the snake and started a discussion that, in my view, is an awkward discussion. He started it in an awkward way. He started it in a very crafty, sneaky, deceptive way, because that is his nature. Thieves are crafty. You go to some countries, you see signposts all over the place warning you of pickpockets, because they are crafty. They will run into you as they are saying, oh, sorry, they already taken your wallet. They already stolen your money. Because they even have a pickpocket school, if you must know. They have a captain that trains them. They practice amongst themselves. They practice their crafty way. And let's not deceive ourselves that Satan doesn't know us well. He knows us well. He knows us better than we know ourselves. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So he knows what to choose to knock you off. And not only what to choose, he knows who to choose. The who and the what. He chose his words. He chose the sneaky, slithering snake. Let me tell you, whether you like it or not, I pray that God will open you up and you become more sensitive. There are people in your life and around you who are crafty, sneaky leeches of sort. Crafty, sneaky leeches of every sort. They come into your life sneaky, crafty. You know, they say when a rat has never beaten me before, but they say when a rat bites somebody, it bites it. There are people that rat has eaten their foot while they are sleeping, and they don't know. You know why? It's eating and blowing. It's eating it and blowing it. That's the devil. It's the devil that will kill him and be crying with you. Paul said to Timothy, he said, they are like, they have having the form of godliness, but denying its power thereof. He says, from such turn away. 2 Timothy 3, verse 5. They know how to maneuver. Satan can only operate when he has a vessel to use. And I pray you will not be a satanic vessel. In Jesus' name. They maneuver themselves into your life. But their intentions is to use you and give you an alternative from God. Let me tell you something. You may not like me for this. When you come to church like this, and you are listening, the word of God is going on, and there's somebody distracting you. They are agents of the devil. I'm telling you the truth. Why is it that when the word of God is going on, that's the time you want to talk to me? When I go to conferences, I have a lot of friends. Come on. Pastors will sit in front. We know that. I don't sit in front. I sit in the midst of the crowd, especially people I don't know. Because number one, don't talk to me. I'm not here for our tete-a-tete. Do you understand me? Oh, some people are, oh, they will just so to be in front. But the person you are sitting next to has no intention of the word. Even their pastors, they will start discussing all kinds of stuff with you, and the power of the word will be going forth. People will be saying amen. It's after they say amen that you will say amen. But you don't even know what you are saying amen to. They tell you how you shouldn't mind what the pastor is saying. Don't worry. You can listen to it online. Why can't I listen to it now? And then refresh myself online. Don't mind what the pastor is saying. God is not really like that. They are stealing from you. The more they interact with you, the more they are tearing down your faith. The more they are tearing down your faith, the more they are stealing God's value from you. Let's think about it. The first conversation between the devil through the serpent and the woman was about God. We are talking for the first time. The first thing you are talking to me about is like, this is a person here. Eve is there. The serpent coming. acting as if he's passing by, turning back. Did God really say you shouldn't touch the trees in the garden? What an awkward way of starting a discussion. You already will know that this person has an agenda. Do you understand what I'm saying? Oh, did God? Did God? Who starts a discussion like that? Huh? Number one, we see the way Satan spoke. Please, can you put on the screen for us Genesis 3? The Bible says he was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God has made. He said to the woman, "As God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden." Feigning ignorance. But he's not ignorant. He has a game plan. Number one, you see the devil, what he did there. He rejected the lordship. He just said, "Did God," not "the Lord God." Because he's telling Eve without Eve realizing that he does not have a relationship with Jehovah. And one thing I found out about people who have no relationship, don't kid yourself. Because people are in church doesn't mean they have a relationship with God. And those who have a relationship with God will always glorify God in your presence and tilt your attention to God. Those who have no relationship with God will take your attention away from God. Everything they want to discuss is to take your attention away from God. If the lordship of the Lord is not pronounced in your life, you are simply saying you have no relationship with him. Everybody calls God God. But the Bible even says, only by the Spirit can you call him Lord. Because there's a relationship. Praise the Lord. They call him God. They want what is God, but they don't want him. How did he speak to this woman? He spoke to her as if there is something God is denying them. It's more or less like, do you know that God doesn't want you to have fun? Huh? God doesn't really want you to have fun. Oh, they will say, God is not that difficult. It doesn't mean you can't have fun. But what do you determine as fun? What is fun? Is there fun in Christ? Come on, somebody help me. Yeah, there's a lot of fun in Christ. You see, the fun in Christ is the kind of fun that when you start having it in the place of prayer, praise and worship, you can dance to praise and worship. It adds to you. It does not diminish from you. But the fun of the world, it will take from you. It will take from you body, soul, and spirit, joint and marrows. You will wake up the following day. Headache. They call it hanging over. Oh, I've had people say, it's madness you use to cure madness. They were drunk overnight and slept, having a day. They start in the morning drinking again. It's fun. If you have ever been drunk before, you had an hangover, when you wake up the following day, you will even hate the smell of your own self. I'm telling you, people have so much fun to the extent that they are swimming in gutters from where they went to have fun to get home. You can't be in Christ and swim in gutter. Huh? You can't be in Christ and you are found in the place called hole in the wall. What are you doing in the hole in the wall? Are you a lizard? Praise the Lord. He pressed the woman. They were, no, that's not what he said. It's because he knows that the day you eat of this one you are saying, your eyes will be open. You know, when somebody talks to you like that, it's as if, oh, he has my interest at heart. Oh, he's interested in me. He's interested in my well-being. He wants me to have good things. Whereas, he's baiting you. He's dangling things before you. He had planned out how he was going to steal. He didn't have an interest at heart. He had a destruction at heart. He had planned out how he was going to steal that relationship. Because that's what he was after. Steal the relationship. Expose them. Make jest of them. Make fun of them. Satan doesn't mind us coming to church. Believe me. He doesn't mind us singing, dancing, even preaching the word. I can preach without having a relationship with God. Many people do it. But they will be found out eventually. You can pray without having a relationship. No intimacy with God. No submission to the leading of the Holy Spirit. With that, Satan is happy. The second quote I said I was going to give us in rounding up. Did you get anything from this? All right. It's a tweet. Actually, it's Pastor T that sent this tweet. Many people, he said, worship the Jesus of their imagination, not the Jesus of the Bible. Worshipping the Jesus of your imagination, not the Jesus of the Bible. You can worship the Jesus of your imagination, you're on your own. Until you start worshiping the Jesus of the Bible before you have a genuine touch from heaven. And the moment you are touched, a lot of things in your life changes. Brethren, he said, I will restore all the years the locusts, the cankerworms, the palmerworms, the caterpillars have eaten. But the first step towards restoration is your positioning with God. Stop that thief so he doesn't steal your relationship with God. That's the most important. If you don't get anything today, that's the most important thing you should hold on to. Don't let the devil steal your relationship, your intimate relationship, your personal relationship with the Lord. I'm going to take this song. And I want you to sort yourself out with him this afternoon or this morning still. You tell him you want a relationship with him. That, Lord, I need you. I need you. I need you. I can't do it by myself. I can't live life. I don't even want to live life by myself. I want you to live through me, Lord Jesus. I want you to live through me, that the whole world may see and know and see your hand and your glory in my life. Captivate my heart. All eyes closed. All eyes bowed. As you talk to the Lord. Reign in me, Sovereign Lord, reign in me.